This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
But look, let's take our Bibles, stand if you're able, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read verse 26 to begin with today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26 says this. It says, "And then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and who takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word transforms our lives, transforms us, God. Bless us today with your presence. Move us from where we were to where you want us to be. Continue, God, to bless us in Jesus' name. And together everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about overcoming your giant. Overcoming your giant. Now, when I think about a giant, it reminds me of the lumberjack story, of the giant lumberjack. And there, the story goes that there was a big lumberjack, and he was about 6'5". He was about 250, just chiseled, nothing but muscle. And he was talking to a little lumberjack, and it was just a young lumberjack just getting started, but he was a much smaller guy. He was about 5'9", and he weighed about 130 pounds and soaking wet. He was just a little guy, and the little lumberjack was talking to this gigantic, big, strong lumberjack, and he said, "You know, in them woods," he said, "there's some big old bears in them woods." He said, "If I was as big as you, I'd just show everybody how tough I was. I'd run out in those woods. I'd find me the biggest bear I could find. I'd grab him by the mouth. I'd just rip him apart and just stand there. And then I'd just show him who's in charge." The big lumberjack looked down at the little lumberjack and he said, "You know what? There's some little bears in them woods too." You know, I know that if you're breathing, you got a giant in your life. You've got problems. You've got obstacles in your life. Just like the nation of Israel had a giant that faced them. But see, Israel had a lot of enemies in their days. Even from the earliest years, there were a lot of problems. There were a lot of enemies that stood up against Israel. And maybe the most famous, one of the most famous that I believe, is the Philistines. We hear about the Philistines literally throughout the story. If you go back to the Exodus story where Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, the Bible tells us that he did not go the way of the Philistines, although it was shorter. Because he knew that they were going to face war. Because the Philistines were a people of war. They were a deadly warrior group of people. And they were fighters. And they knew that Israel was not ready for that. We remember Samuel in Judges. That Samuel ran into the Philistines and had issues with the Philistines. We know that Samuel met a Philistine woman by the name of Delilah. And one woman took this mighty man out. We know that later that King Saul, the first king of Israel, had problems with the Philistines because the Philistines, they occupied a portion of the promised land that was given to the nation of Israel by God. And so they were entering into the land and they would run into the Philistines. They would run into them and try to force them out of their promised land. Now, last month, a group of us had the privilege to go with Pastor Benny. We went to the nation of Israel. We had a great opportunity to go to the nation of Israel and visit all the sites. And just shameless plug, I just want to tell you, if you've not had the opportunity to go to Israel, you need to go. We're going again. Pastor Ray's going to lead another group in 2025. And you've got time right now. Just start your little coin drawer and jar and just start putting some money back. I promise you, the Bible will come to life if you go. We had the wonderful, amazing opportunity to go. I had a great guy by the name of Manny, and y'all saw me kiss the camel. Well, Manny's the guy who put me on the camel. He knew about the camel and set me up. He said, this camel's going to want to give you a kiss. But he didn't tell me he just wanted to kiss me on the side of the face. So I'm leaning all the way in, and he just, I mean, it's like, wow. Maybe the best kiss I ever got. I mean, a camel's struggling to get over me. As a matter of fact, Manny texted me this morning a picture of him and the camel. He said, Sam said to tell you, hey. I mean, he just can't get over me. But I had the opportunity to go down into that valley, the Ala Valley. And as I went down into that valley, you can see the brook there. You can see it's dried up now. The riverbed is dried up. But you can see from that riverbed, there's stones that have been a part of a riverbed for thousands of years. And there's still to this day, there are smooth stones all in that riverbed. As a matter of fact, I got five of them. And I got a honking one. I don't know. I don't know if this is symbolic of the size giant I think I got. But I got five big ones. Like, I mean, I had to throw away clothes so that I could bring this back in the smuggle it back into America. Don't stream that part. But I wanted a big stone. I just thought that if David was going to bust a giant in the face with a stone, it was going to be a big one. Because if I throw this at you, and it catches you in the head, I mean, it won't probably knock. Well, it's going to hurt. I just say that. But I got the opportunity to go down, and I got five smooth stones just like David did. And I don't know why he got five. I mean, some people say, well, David must have not had a lot of faith in God or faith in himself. Maybe he thought he was going to miss. And I really don't think that was it. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think maybe that David was probably thinking about the fact that Samuel had or that Goliath had four brothers or four sons, excuse me. We know in 2 Samuel 21 and 22 that Goliath had some sons, four of them. I'm thinking he's probably thinking, hey, once I get through knocking their daddy out, if them four boys stick their head out of the camp, I'm going to knock them out too. I'm going to take them down. I don't know. But he got these five smooth stones out of this valley. And there stood Israel. There stood Israel with their arch enemies right there. They were on one side of the valley. And then on the other side, you've got the Philistines. And then right in the middle of all of that, you've got the giant. And I think that's kind of symbolic of mine in your life. See, right in the middle of where we are and where God wants us to be, there always seems to be a giant. There always seems to be an obstacle. There always seems to be a problem. Some reason why I can't go from here to there, because don't you see this big giant? Israel's giant, we know from the Bible in 1 Samuel 17:4, the Bible says that he was 9 feet 6 inches, or 6'9". It says 6 cubits and a span, which that's what it translates into. I mean, that's a big man. I mean, that's all you need to take away. Was it 9'6", 9'9"? Who cares? When you get past nine, it's like, no, you big. Like, I mean, he's got muscles to go along with it. Like, he was a man of war all of his life. I mean, this was a big, big problem. He weighed over 500 pounds. And right there in the middle was where he stood, defying the armies of Israel. And see, there always seems to be those giants in all of our lives. But I believe that the greatest opportunities in our life are often disguised as giants. I really believe that some of the greatest opportunities, we will never realize some of those great opportunities, because we'll turn back way too soon and we will not face the giants. But those are many times disguised as the greatest opportunities in our lives. And see, I want us to know that I believe there's some stones that we need to go down to our brook of our life and we need to pick up. That if we're going to overcome the giant that's in our life, there's some stones, just like David, that we need to pick up. And the first stone that I put in your notes is we need to resist the doubt of others. Resist the doubt of others. You know, people love to be doubters. They love to just hate on you. They love to bring water to your fire party. Like they just love to, if you're excited about something, they're down on it. You know those people, they just got the gift of discouragement. You know, it's just like, you know, just if you, you know, I've got three kids and I may, you know, just say something. I just say, you know, just pray for my kids. You know, I got two teenagers and a 12-year-old. So, you know, just a crazy time of life, and just pray for us if you would. And I do say that to them. But you know what? I get this a lot. You know what? Don't get any better. I'm like, is that supposed to be encouraging? Hey, don't tell me that. Like, I'm writing them, just lie to me, if nothing else. Just say like, oh, buddy, it'll be fine, it's gonna be good. No, I mean, people just, duh,
ain't gonna get no better.
Like, well, I'm praying it will, okay? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Like, I don't wanna hear that it doesn't get any better. Like, don't tell me that kind of stuff. I remember the story about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was telling the story of the fact that he had decided he was gonna run for president of the United States. He had been the governor and he decided, hey, I want to announce it to my family. I want my family to be the very first ones that hear the news that I'm going to run for president. And so he said, at Thanksgiving, I'll have my whole family there and I'll gather them around and I'll release the news all at one time and I'll let them know and they'll be happy and it'll be an exciting moment for our family. And so Thanksgiving came, he had them all around and he got everybody's attention and he stood up and he said, family, I want you to know something's very important and I wanted you to be the first to hear it. I want you to know that I'm gonna run for president. And he said the very first thing he heard as soon as he said it, somebody in his family said, president of what? Well, what do you mean? I heard the story about a little girl, true story about a little girl in Tennessee. This little girl in Tennessee, she was born in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, up in the hills, in the sticks, where there's almost no people. Her one-room school was so small when she got to her graduating class, they had decided, hey, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna let every one of the graduates stand up at their graduation and share what their plans are for their life. So all the graduates came up and they shared, I want to be this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And that little girl, she came up to the podium and she was shy and she stood up in front of the podium and she said, you know what, I'm going to move to Nashville and I want to become a big star. And she said the second that she said that, all her classmates just erupted into laughter and they all just started laughing and laughing. But you know what, Dolly Parton did go to Nashville. And she ended up doing something pretty special. See, I know that there are doubters in your life. David certainly had doubters. Let me tell you just a few of the doubters in David's life. We read in 1 Samuel 16 that Samuel the prophet had been sent by God down to Jesse's house. Jesse was David's dad. And God had told Samuel the prophet, you go down to Jesse's house because from Jesse is going to come my king, the king that I'm calling to the nation of Israel. So Samuel went down with no more instruction than that it would be one Samuel went down to Jesse. He said that it would be one of Jesse's sons. My brain goes in all different directions, if you're wondering. It's a crazy spot up here. But so Jesse parades his kids out. The only problem is he only paraded seven sons out. He had eight. The eighth one was David, the youngest. David's out in the sheep. He's bye-bye black sheep. He's, you know, I mean, he's looking in the house. I mean, there's seven. What are y'all doing? Like, I mean, y'all need me? Hey, I'm good. I can come. They good. I can come in there. What are y'all doing? Like, I mean, if I was out, I'm with the sheep and they're all lining up. I see the prophet Samuel, like, I mean, there's a big thing happening in the house. Daddy's there. I mean, everybody's looking. What's going on? And I'm out here with the sheep and I got time, I could come in. Like I come in there. But we know from the scripture that according to verse 11, it was Samuel. The prophet had to ask the dad. He's done been through all seven. He's like, no, I don't know. No, I'm not feeling it. None of these guys, I don't feel anything. Do you have, is everybody here? I know I didn't miss God. I know God told me it would come from Jesse's house, but for some reason, these seven boneheads, they're not checking with me. I don't know. And it was the prophet who had to remind the daddy that you, don't you have another child? Well, we know his daddy didn't believe in him, but look, it gets even better. We find in 1 Samuel 17:28 that David's brothers didn't have any confidence in him either. Eliab, his oldest brother, he said, "Why did you come down here to the battle? Why did you come down here to the battle?" And he said, "And with whom have you left those few sheep?" I mean, isn't that just like a big brother, just to belittle the little brother? Like, that's what you big brothers do. See, I'm a little brother, and I got a big brother. And like, y'all just say ugly things. Like, just, you know how to cut. Like, why you gotta say few sheep? Why can't around all these other big strong men, can't you say like, "I know you got a lot of sheep and you out there, I mean, these are mean sheep too. Like, these sheep bite and I know you are out, you are doing something super important." Like he said, oh, I mean, it just, what a baby got these sheep. You got these few little sheep. Like, I mean, it just made him feel like trash. And then he said, "All you want to do is you just want to come down here and see the battle. You're just being nosy. Oh, what a baby just want to see the battle. Like, why you got to talk to me like that? Like, why you got to say it like that?" See, I mean, the Bible doesn't say he said it like that, but I feel it. I feel it. But we know his brothers didn't believe in him. Then we see that Saul, the king, didn't even believe in him. In 1 Samuel 17:33, Saul said to David, "You are not able." Like, thanks for the confidence. Appreciate it. I'm good. I'm about to go out here, face the giant that y'all been listening to for 40 days, say ugly things. You've been shaking inside this tent, and nobody's going to go out there and fight him. And I just said I would, and you said, "You're not able." Appreciate it. And he said, "You know why you're not able? Because you're just a little baby." Like, what? He's like, "You're little and you got no muscles," and he's big and he's got big muscles. He's got all this armor. You're a youth, and he's been a man of war since he was a little baby. He was a big baby and he was slapping folks around in the nursery. And so he's been fighting folks from birth. He was biting kids from the earliest age. Said, "This man's a man of war from his youth. You can't do it." You see, so what was it? It certainly wasn't confidence that made David special. What was it that made David special? I believe 1 Samuel 16:13 gives us an idea of what made him special, because from the moment that Samuel took the horn of oil, the prophet anointed him in the midst of his brothers, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and from that day forward, he had the Spirit of the Lord empowering him to overcome the giants in his life. And I want you to know, it's the Spirit of the Lord that makes you special, that makes you more than an overcomer. We know that 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, "Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world." And Corrie ten Boom, she said it like this. She said, "The human spirit falls except when the Holy Spirit fills." She said, "The human spirit will fall unless and except when the Holy Spirit fills." You see, what can we learn? We can learn like David. Don't let an ordinary beginning rob you of an extraordinary life. David just started with the sheep. He started with the sheep. He was born in a little town called Bethlehem. But I know of another man, a little over 1,000 years later, that would be having just an ordinary beginning in a little town called Bethlehem. And his name was Jesus. I know that David's brothers didn't believe in him, but I know a little over 1,000 years later that a man named Jesus, his brothers didn't believe in him either. According to John 7:5, the Bible tells us, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." I know that his people didn't receive him, because John 1:11 says that he came into his own, and what did his own do? They did not receive him. See, I want you to know that we've got to resist the doubt of others. We've got to resist the doubt of others, because people love to doubt. And what you tell yourself is powerful. Resist the doubt. Not only that, another stone that you've got to take into battle is you've got to remember the past victories. Remember the past victories. 1 Samuel 17:37, David said, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of a lion. He delivered me from the paw of a bear." And you know what he's going to do? He's going to deliver this Philistine into my hand. He said, I know. David already knew because of what God had already done in his life. He said, I already know that there's been times where I should have already been dead. I should have never made it through what I made it through. But I know God brought me through that. And because God brought me through that, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to bring me through this. He's going to take me through my next obstacle. And he will never fail me because it's God's faithfulness in the past. It's God's faithfulness in my past, in your past, that prepares our faith for the future. It's because we can look back and say and know with confidence that God has been good, God has been faithful, God has been trustworthy, and I can trust him with my everything in the future. I can trust him. See, I don't know, but I just wonder if maybe Jesus knew headed to the cross that he could defeat the devil because he had already whipped him like a dog in the wilderness. He already went out for 40 days. He slapped him around like a I don't know, something. And see, I think how we're going to defeat our giants is we're going to remind ourselves we are a forgetful bunch of people. We get to whining and moaning, and God just brought you through something. You whine and cry like just good grief. I mean, God has to be long-suffering to put up with us. Like when you read about Israel and you're like, how could they after God just brought them through the dry land, he parted the sea, took out Pharaoh. How could they start making golden calves and worshiping other gods? We do the same thing. That's us. We turn our back on God that fast. It's not what have you done for me lately, God, it's what have you done for me today. Hey, in the last 5 minutes, God, you really hadn't done much for me, so. But we got to remember the past victories. I can get annoying all by myself on that. See, we sing the song, I've seen you move. You moved the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence that you've never failed me yet. God's never failed us. John Newton wrote a song just a few years before that one was written, and this is how he worded the same thing. He said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. He said, it's grace that's brought me safe thus far. And he said, it's grace that's going to lead me home. What was John Newton doing? He was saying, man, I was a wretch, and amazing grace saved a wretch like me. I've done all kinds of things that I regret, that I hate, that I shouldn't have done. And grace has brought me safe thus far. And because of that, I know grace is going to lead me home. It's going to help me through the next obstacle in my life. See, we've got to remember the victories. But not only that, the third stone we've got to take is we've got to review your words. Review your words. See, Psalms 19:14, the psalmist prayed. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Proverbs 21 and 23 says, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. See, our souls, our mind, will, and our emotions. Some of us are having some mind, will, and emotional problems because of our mouth. Because our mouth is putting our soul in trouble. See, we've got to review our words. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak is so powerful. We know that in 1 Samuel 17 and 8, Goliath referred to himself, very humble guy, referred to himself as the Philistine champion. David never called him that. David didn't call him a champion. David didn't call him a giant. David looked at him and he said, you're an uncircumcised Philistine. Now, I mean, if you don't know much about maybe biblical history, that's kind of where you say, like, I don't believe I'd have said that. Like, I mean, even if you see that, notice that, think that, I'd probably just keep that in my head. Like, I mean, for real. But see, David knew that the people he was saying that to, he was saying that to his army, to his brothers. He knew they understood Genesis 17, where God had made a covenant with Abraham and told him on the eighth day to circumcise all the males, and it would be a sign in the flesh of the covenant between God's people and their God, and he was going to protect them and provide for them and ensure their safety. And when David saw, hey, you're not circumcised, he said, hey, this guy's not circumcised. He don't have the covering we've got. He don't have the God we've got. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. I don't know what you're shaking about. He's in trouble. See, David announced it with faith and confidence, and he spoke confidence to his people. Henry Ford said it like this: whether you say you can or you can't, you're right. So go ahead, whatever you say. If you say it, you're probably right. In 1963, a San Francisco Giant pitcher by the name of Gaylord Perry was joking around with a bunch of friends. He said, man, they'll put a man on the moon before I'll ever hit a home run. And you know what? He did actually hit a home run. In 1969, 2 hours after they landed on the moon. See, there's power in our words. There's power in our words. We've got to review our words. Stone number four, we've got to respect who God's made you to be. You better respect who God made you to be. Stop trying to be somebody else. Oh man, stop trying to compare yourself on Instagram and Snapchat and all these influencers. And I'm going to be like, man, I don't wear what they're wearing. You remember the story with David in 1 Samuel 17:38. Saul tried to give him his armor. That's very noble of you, King. Thank you, wimp. But Saul was a head taller than everybody else. We know that from the Bible. So it didn't fit him. It was nice. It was going to be really nice armor. I'm sure it was the best of the best that Israel had. And it was going to be a great thing. But we know from verse 39 that David couldn't even walk in it. And he took it off. But see, David knew who God was calling him to be. David knew God's not called me to be Saul. God's not calling me to walk in somebody else's anointing, to follow somebody else's path, to be like somebody else. God said, you're the only you that there is, and I would just like for you to be you. I'd like for you to follow your calling and walk in your anointing and do what I've called you to do and stop trying to be everybody else. Just be who God wants you to be. Pastor Benny said this quote. He says it like this. He said, be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. For Lord's sake, just be who you is. Chuck Swindoll said it like this. He said, know who you are, accept who you are, and be who you are. God's given you gifts and you abilities. Walk in those. Not only respect who God's made you to be, but the last stone that we need to take into battle is we've got to relinquish all glory to God. Relinquish all glory to God. I love this. In 1 Samuel, we read that this is the part where David announces to Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:45, look what he said. So David walks out, then got his five stones. Standing out there, he looks to the Philistine nation and he starts hollering. He said, you come to me, and he talks about the weapons that they've got. See, you don't walk out here, and you walked out here with a sword. Oh, you got a big old spear. That's a big spear. And you got this javelin. And I see how tough you are. I see how big you are. You know, you walked out here, and I can see everything you've got, but what you don't see is that I came. And I have come to you, not as David, a little shepherd boy, but I've come to you not with a sling and stones. I've come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And when you came out here for 40 straight days and you defied my God, on the 41st day, you got a problem. Because he's done heard all your griping and all your bickering, all you coming out here belittling our God, and God has heard it, and now you in for it. That's right. Because let me tell you what I'm going to do in verse 46. This day, big boy, this day I'm going to deliver you. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'm going to take your head from you if you don't mind. I'm going to take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses, your dead brothers and sisters over there, I'm going to give the whole carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the bird, and all y'all too. I'm going to give it to all y'all. All the birds of the air are going to be eating you and the wild beasts of the earth. And I want you to know why. It ain't because I am the baddest of them all. It isn't David. It isn't because of Saul. It isn't because we're warriors. It's because the whole earth needs to know that there is a God in Israel, and you have messed up and you've defied the God of Israel. Praise be to God. And we've got to relinquish all the glory and honor and praise to God. See, it wasn't how strong and mighty David was. It's how strong and mighty God is. Ronald Reagan said, there's no limit to the amount of good that you can do if you don't care who gets the credit. We work so hard for the credit, for the honor, for the accolades. Can I put it on my resume? See, the quote said, you haven't really served God until somebody else gets the credit and God gets the glory. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about God. We've got to relinquish all the glory to God, because God will share his power with you. Understand something. God will share his power with you, but he will not share his glory with you. He won't. He's not going to do it. He'll empower you, but he will not share his glory. You take his glory from him and you're in trouble. I wouldn't try it. Don't take his glory. He won't share his glory with you. You remember what the giant said to David? He said in 1 Samuel 17:9, he said this. He said, if I'm able, or if he, David, is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I, Goliath, prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and you're gonna serve us. So they had this, he had this deal of like, hey, if I win, you're gonna serve. And we know what happens. We know that David went down and killed Goliath. And they didn't have to be the servants of the Philistines. And we know that David went down and he had a wooden sling and a stone. But I want you to know that in your life, over 1,000 years later, for me and for you, the stone that the builders rejected, Jesus Christ, he took a wooden cross and he beat the devil to death. And he took out our giant. He took out our obstacle. He took out your problems. He took out your obstacles in your life. Whatever you struggle with, whatever did control you doesn't have to control you. Whatever you struggled with, and you don't have to struggle with that anymore, because we are more than overcomers through him, through Jesus. Jesus is the answer. We give him all the glory, all the praise, because of who he is and because of what he's done. He's already won the battle. And we relinquish all glory and honor and praise to God. You see, we've all got giants in our life. And I encourage you, you got to pick up some stones. And I don't know which one of those stones you need the most. Sadly, I need all five. But we can defeat the giant. We can overcome the giant in our life. We're going to have to take some stones with us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.